Right now we are off to Massachusetts. It is time for our get-together on air with the Berkshire Edge. TheBerkshireEdge.com is the place you go to find out all the news and information in and around the South County area of Massachusetts. That is TheBerkshireEdge.com. And let us head to Massachusetts right now and welcome in Marcia and David. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Massachusetts.
There you go.
But you have to have your passport, you know. When you come from Connecticut, you're at the border, you have to have a passport.
We're waiting for more snow today, which you probably are too.
We're always waiting for snow coming up. But I do have my cannabis passport for Massachusetts.
Yes, sir.
All right.
You need that.
Well, let's talk a little
it's
bit about
biggest business.
Yeah, a little bit about Massachusetts. And this is a great story to start things off. That is a staff member from the Berkshire Medical Center writing a thank you tribute to first responders. It's a type of story you like to see, read, and it makes you feel good during some pretty tough times.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, it has been very encouraging how the community has come through. There is a sense of community, so this is just another example that the hospital is thanking the Berkshire First or the hospital staff is thanking the Berkshire First Responders,
and the first responders did this. They paraded around in a big parade around the hospital,
right?
And to recognize all the effort that the hospital workers had done to
get us through
this pandemic,
right?
or keep getting us through this pandemic.
Yeah.
It's not over.
No, it's not over yet.
But you know, it's interesting. The next story, Connecticut last Thursday opened up 65 and over. Now I could have applied and gotten my vaccination as an essential business, but I didn't because I have a couple of indicators that are on top of my health. I wanted everybody else to apply first, so I applied on Thursday and found out that my vaccination shot will be coming up on March the 1st. So, you know, a couple week wait, but that added 300,000 people to the rolls. But I see that in Massachusetts, you guys received your shots already in Great Barrington, and over a million vaccinations have been given in Massachusetts up to now.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Massachusetts seems to be doing fairly well, but I'm hearing stories about New York. A friend of mine, not only in New York City, but a friend of mine who lives in Spencertown told me that she has to go up to Plattsburgh, and the first date she can get is something like April 8th.
Yeah, and New York right now is, from what I've heard from the town leaders, in Dover, New York, CVS moved into a larger portion of a shopping center in Dover, New York, where they operate, where a supermarket used to be, because they became a big CVS store. And the state of New York is now preparing the smaller store that they used to be in years ago to be a vaccination center. It's not up and running yet. They're still preparing it. But that is a problem in New York, where people either have to wait a long, long time or have to travel to some really wild distances.
Yes, right. I mean, Plattsburgh, New York, Spencertown. I mean, Spencertown is right, you know, right over the border from Massachusetts. So it's close. It's in Columbia County, and they have to go up to Plattsburgh. It's 3 hours each way.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we here in our immediate area, the Sharon Hospital, when they have supplies, is a location. They're booked up. But High Watch Recovery Center in Kent is where I'm going to be going, and they are only a 20-minute ride from here, so it's not that bad. But it really depends on state to state where you go. But
it does.
We do have to say that everything seems to be going in the correct direction right now. We're through the holidays finally. Deaths are dropping across the country. Even infection rates are down. Even though 33,000 is a lot, it's a lot less than 100,000 a day, which what we were averaging. And you just have to hope that people will keep masking up and keep abiding by the social distancing rules until a majority of people get vaccinated.
Right, right.
Well, yeah. It was kind of fun actually to go get vaccinated because it was sort of like a town meeting. You know, okay. Everybody was lining up. That town meetings are held in you know, school gymnasiums or auditoriums, and it was it had that feeling that you ran into people you hadn't seen in a while, and it was, you know, it had a kind of socially, sort of a gathering of the town together.
Well, you're true because when I publicized that I had gotten my appointment for the vaccination, a listener and a friend of mine, Wally Chase, noted me back that, hey, I'm going on that day too. And he's going to be right behind me. He's going to be a half hour behind me, which is interesting because I think what they do, you can correct me on this, you get your shot and then they hold you around for 15 or 20 minutes just to make sure that there's no side effects.
Right. That's right.
So now you've got the two shot regimen, right? That you're going through.
Yep. All right. We have to go back, I think, on the 24th.
All right.
For our second shot. So.
Well, things are starting to percolate on that side of the thing, and also, it's nice to see that on TV when reports are given by the commission that has been put together, they're all health experts now, and they seem to be working.
That does make a difference. I mean, I think you know we feel more optimistic just because we feel that the government is taking this seriously. I think the big problem is the unavailability of vaccine, although the Biden administration has now said it's bought 200 million more shots. But, you know, I mean, I know, again, people in Manhattan who are scrambling. A friend of mine in Manhattan, you know, was called, but he's 86 years old. And he couldn't find any place to get a shot. And finally, Walgreens called him and said, if you can get here in 10 minutes, we can give you a shot. He had been on their list, you know, and so he rushed out of the house and got there in 10 minutes and got his first shot.
Well,
but, you know, that somebody 86 years old can't have access. I mean, he's trying every website possible, and there was no vaccine around. So, anyway, I do think it's getting better, and I think Massachusetts seems to be, you know, opening up big vaccination centers, and, you know, certainly in the Berkshires, there has been an orderly process.
All right. Speaking about the Berkshires,
yeah.
folks forget about, you know, with the pandemic and everything else and the election and stuff like that. It is school budget time in our area, and school budgets now, when you look at them, and if you're a town leader, it's very hard to look at school budgets because, like in the Berkshire Hills Regional School District, their proposed budget is $30.3 million, which is just a 3% increase, which isn't a lot, but you also have in that story that the top leadership of the Muddy Brook Elementary School is leading.
Yep. They're leaving.
Yeah,
which is a shame. So not only will the school committee have to deal with its you know, passing its budget, but also hiring these top administrators for the elementary school and the middle school. So. That's a shame in a way.
Yeah.
Well, what makes it even more a shame is that when you look at it now, and this pandemic has brought about one thing that's very important. The importance of the elementary schools funneling into the high schools and the later years, this is probably, and people have known this for a while, the most important time in a child's education point is when they're in elementary school. And between the pandemic and now in where you are, the top leadership of the school leaving, that really does create problems because the elementary schools really get students ready to move on to the mid-level schools and then to the high school and then eventually colleges. So it's the elementary schools are an important part of every community.
Yeah,
They are, and you know, I'm sure that we will find, they will find new leadership. And, you know, I mean, these are people who, you know, have been there for a while, and of course, you lose some of their experience. But I think the worst part is that, you know, the quality of education has been so poor because of the pandemic, and we hope that, you know, kids can go back to school and start to learn. Because I think that's the biggest problem, that, you know, they've lost so much time this year.
Well, I think
remote learning isn't
not working.
It is really not a complete substitute for
no.
No, and I think what people lose sight of, remote learning is not at-home learning where a parent might have a child and then dedicate 5 or 6 hours of that day to educating that child.
Right.
But remote learning is just totally, it's totally different. Both have their deficiencies, but I think remote learning is even more, because it's just hard to keep that edge on the students.
Right.
Yeah. And remote learning, yeah, and you're also, it's you're not in the company of other students, you know, so that you're kind of isolated at home or wherever, looking at a screen. Just not the same.
Right.
No. It sets up
it's better than nothing, but it's
you're
not
right,
much.
It's better than nothing, but it also sets up a lot of bad precedents, because one of the terrific things about elementary schools is enabling children as students to get together and commingle with other students of different races, ethnicities,
yeah,
ages,
absolutely.
And everything. It's an all-round healthful experience, as we found out. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
So that socializing experience. Yeah.
And when we think about our school experience, we think as much about the friends we had and the activities we did as we do about the in-class experience. So
yeah, it's a tough.
We all know that ourselves.
I'll give administrators and teachers, though, so much credit, the way they have come through this pandemic. All the meetings that these schools and these administrators put together to come up with a plan to deal with this appear to be working like clockwork in our area. They are working as best as they could, and so a big shout out to all the administrators and the teachers, because they really have done a great job in doing whatever they can do to get students and families through this pandemic.
Yeah, right. No, it's true. And you know, just fingers crossed that we will have a regular school season next year, beginning in September, and get back to normal.
Well, Joe Biden even talked about yesterday some of the elementary schools that have possibly even extending into summer to get children in classes. That'll be very interesting to see if that comes up.
The summer camps are going to go berserk.
Yeah.
After being closed last year, who knows what they're going to do this year?
Oh, I remember doing a broadcast on Main Street in Great Barrington 4 years ago, and we had gift certificates, and we had at least 100 people come up to our broadcast and purchase gift certificates to local restaurants and stuff, because they were in town dropping off. They were dropping
off
their kids,
oh, yeah.
And they wanted someplace to go to eat and stuff like that. So, and that was just us. And literally, there had to be we must have sold 100 gift certificates that day.
Wow.
So that is that's another important part of a child's education.
Yeah. And, you know, Camp Half Moon, which is a big camp here, closed for the first time in its history last summer. They just couldn't open. They couldn't have kids there.
All right. Well, we are talking, of course, with our good friends, Marcy and David from the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com. Moving on to your state senator, Adam Hines, outlining his priorities for the legislative session.
Well, you skipped a story.
I did. Yes. I did. You're right. You're right. I did.
Well,
that's because it had the word police in it, and I mentioned cannabis.
Well, go ahead, David. Tell your story.
Well, it's not my story, but the Great Barrington Select Board has approved the creation of a police oversight review panel, the town is joining forces with Pittsfield to create a panel that will have anybody will look into complaints of police misbehavior, and this is in order to create a trust policy. This is a measure that was passed in the town meeting several years ago, and they're just getting it now. And it will, for example, the trust policy stipulates that the town will not enforce federal immigration law or aid in the detention of residents who may be liable for civil immigration problems. So that is one of the trust policies that Greg Barrington adopted.
And we have a new police chief also who seems very interested in better communication with the public. So it's very,
it's really good.
Time.
Well, Bill Walsh had been police chief for many, many years in Great Barrington. In fact, he's been around as long as I can remember Great Barrington. I thought this is a pretty interesting and progressive approach to just reminding everyone, making sure that everybody is confident that the police force is on their side, you might say, and is acting on behalf of the community.
Right.
All right. Now we'll move forward to Adam Hines.
What? Oh, Adam who? No, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry. Yes, our state senator, Adam Hines. The ubiquitous Adam Hines.
Well, no, he's very good.
He's great. He's actually really good.
Right.
But he issued a statement in which he explained what he thought were his priorities for this coming legislative session. He did so, interestingly enough, while visiting the campus of the Greenagers campus, which is a group of kids that create gardens for people all over the county. If you want a garden, you call them up and they'll come and put it in.
Right, they make a raised garden.
They make a raised garden bed for you, which is a whole other story. So this was an interview with Hines to see how he has been, what he sees as the issues that he was going to be working on. Of course.
Remember what they are, David.
One of them's train service.
I would, that to me is my favorite bit of what he was. The public transportation initiative that he's looking at.
People in Boston seem to forget that Western Massachusetts exists. Yeah. Their idea of cross-state east-west train service was to stop at Springfield. And
right.
Adam Hines has been fighting for, to get train service to come as far as Pittsfield. Who knew that Pittsfield was there, right?
Well, there is a daily, one daily passenger train that goes from Boston to Chicago, actually.
But now they've cut
through
that
Albany,
three times a week.
Now they've cut that down back times a week, and Adam is hoping that we can restore regular train service to Boston,
right?
Daily basis.
And he's also working for train service to New York.
If that happens, that would come through.
Come up through our area. And that ties in with your next story with Jonathan Butler. Of One Berkshire, who is talking about reestablishing public transportation links to both Boston and New York, so that ties in with this story.
It does. Now we've had a very interesting story from Jonathan Butler, who is CEO of an organization called One Berkshire, which is trying to, you know, working on economic development for Berkshire County. And his article really is about all the different groups that are working together to try to increase transportation within Berkshire County and to and from Berkshire County. So he's talking about, you know, the various bus companies that are working.
Well, there's a Berkshire Regional Transit Transit Authority, which is responsible for a bus service between towns.
Right, because, you know, if you don't have a car in Berkshire County, you can't exist. You know, you can't get anywhere, so there are a number of groups, and it's an interesting story. I encourage your readers, or your listeners, to read it, because, you know, he's talking about how the Berkshire Regional Transportation Authority and some of the senior services, and, you know, they're all working together to try to increase the increase public transportation links within Berkshire County, so that people don't have to have cars. I mean, not everybody can afford a car, and people need to get to work. And there's, you know, there are actually public ways to do it, and they are improving. But there's a big effort to coordinate them all, and also, you know, to work with the state and other states to try to get people to and from the Berkshires.
Yeah. Right.
So, because, again, you can't get here if you don't...
Well, the interesting thing is, of course, public transportation was a lot better years ago.
But it is now, absolutely. No, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, there used to be regular train service from Pittsfield to New York City, not via Albany, but
right down
the Houstonic Railroad.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Or
past
the New
us.
Haven Railroad, as it was called then. And it was daily.
Yeah.
In fact, you could go... to what was really cool would be you could go to you could go to a concert at Lincoln Center and come back that night on a late night train.
Now we only have about a minute left, and I want to get to the, I want to get to the story about the ice celebration in Stockbridge.
Right.
Oh, that's a the ice celebration, right.
It's an old tradition.
It's an old tradition. And it's a way of celebrating winter. And they do so by, we called it a chip off the old block. But it's an ice festival that celebrates a historic Berkshire industry that is being put on in Stockbridge. And they're doing ice sculptures, and they're demonstrating how they used to harvest ice. But the sculptures are quite remarkable, actually. There's one that we have a photograph of a cat that is really astonishing. It's so it's quite large, and it really looks like a cat.
Well, just remember that they used to harvest ice out of Lakeville Lake as well. And the lakes around our area here, too. That's how much the climate has changed.
Yeah, it has. By the way, speaking of ice, though, we in our magazine section, we did a very amusing piece about going to Florida. But we're talking about Florida, Massachusetts. So we're saying for all of you for whom the pandemic prevented you from going to Florida, here's a...
Just go north to Florida.
Here's a socially distanced, perfectly safe way to go to Florida. And we have a little article about Florida, Massachusetts. Which,
of course, it's at the top of a mountain.
Yes, where it's colder. It's colder there than almost any place else in the Berkshires. But they do have this fantastic Hoosick Tunnel. It's worth the trip. And wonderful views.
Right.
From the Mohawk Trail, so it's that's a bit of amusement for the
pandemic bound community has.
Right.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week. TheBerkshireEdge.com is your location.
Thank you.
Well, stay safe there.
All right, yeah. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yep.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, the Berkshire Edge on air. You find them at TheBerkshireEdge.com on the web.